Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you evaluate Broderick's performance?
You know, certainly it could be better, but certainly all of our performances could be better. Our quarterback got hit too much, and he was a component of that.
Like, you worry about confidence with him at all?
I don't.
Why not?
Because it's football. You don't get to the National Football League by being fragile emotionally. There's a lot of confident guys that I work with. You win some battles, you lose some battles, you come back fighting. That's just the nature of the men that play this game at this level.
As Mike Tomlin likes to say on a Tuesday, good afternoon. It is a Tomlin Tuesday. There's a lot to talk about as the Steelers get ready for the Seattle Seahawks to fly into Pittsburgh on Sunday for the annual holiday that is the Steelers home opener. 1 o'clock kickoff at Acrisure Stadium. The Steelers 1-0. It'll be Aaron Rodgers against Sam Darnold, who Mike Tomlin spent almost no time talking about today. We are not just a quarterback town. You know, there are a lot of football towns in America where the conversation is quarterback 24/7, 365, because their fans, I hate to say this, don't have the depth of knowledge that Steelers fans have. And Steelers fans love, maybe more than any fan base, getting into line play and the intricacies and the depth of line play and how important trench play and line play is. And that's
why do you think that is?
I think that's what ball knowers, they look to. They don't just concentrate on one guy. They look at the blocking and the play inside, and they get really in the weeds there. Many of our listeners were high school players themselves, and many of them can relate to the guys up front. And so that's why we can have a conversation about Broderick Jones that's probably better and deeper than a lot of other places. You've got Tomlin saying it could be better from him. No crap. That was the understatement of the year, the leader in the clubhouse from Mike Tomlin. Of course it could be better because it can't possibly get any worse. The guy gave up 3 sacks and 4 pressures. He was horrible. And Tomlin gets asked about confidence and says he's not worried. Well, I'm raising my hand in the air as someone who is saying one game in, I am very, very worried. You know who else is worried? Trey Essex, who won Super Bowls with the Steelers, who went on his podcast and said the following: it didn't look like Broderick Jones belonged in the NFL. It didn't look like he belonged in the NFL. This is a make-or-break year for him. The Steelers have to make a decision in part based on how he plays this year on his future. This is his third year as a starter. He's now 24, or third year in the NFL. He's 24 years old. Come on now. You're back at your natural position. I don't know if I expected you to be Anthony Munoz on Sunday. I didn't, but I was hoping the conversation wasn't, it looked like the Steelers played with 4 offensive linemen instead of 5. And that's where we're at here. And you've already got Steelers fans and some media saying the backup who they signed 15 seconds before the season started, Pete, might be better because it can't get any worse. And we can't allow for a guy that can't move an Aaron Rodgers to play behind this guy. So, yes, there were many positives that came out of the Steelers game. Rodgers' great performance. The fact that they won. Boswell making a 60-yarder. Jalen Ramsey made big plays. Calvin Austin looked like a wide receiver, too. The biggest negative, I think, is Broderick Jones. And he's going to get another crack at it. They're not going to give up on this after one game, Chris. But I don't have patience for the entire season. They can't have patience because Jones will go out before, or Rodgers will go out before Jones does in that case, if they give him 17 games and he looks anywhere close to the guy he looked like on Sunday.
I'd hate to be somebody who danced around their workplace singing the Rocky theme when they drafted Broderick Jones. Could you imagine being an idiot who did that, who believed in Broderick Jones to that extent? It would be horrible to show up to work every day if that was your Broderick Jones initial reaction. I would say I'm obviously worried. I like to believe that I'm an honest broker, and I was crushing how bad he was during the game. I was just appalled at what I saw. I did not like, let me put it this way, I'm not giving up on him yet. I think that they're going to at least go to the bye week, probably beyond it, though, because it would be actually hard for him to be worse than he was in that Jets game. Like, I expect this game to be better only because I don't think you could play a worse game. You'd almost have to literally just stand still and let the guy run by you. Here is what troubles me the most about his performance so far. Yeah, he gets moved over to his natural position, maybe in-game, real deal, it counts. It's going to be a little bit different. He didn't just get beat on bull rushes by a bigger, stronger guy in Quinnen Williams. He didn't just get beat on speed moves by Will McDonald, a smaller, quicker guy. He got beat every which way. Those guys just took turns running around and or through him. McDonald both spun around him on a quickness move and bull rushed him, just picked him up by his pads basically and shoved him back into Aaron Rodgers to create a sack. Like, you could, it's one of those deals where if in golf they say the worst thing's a two-way miss, you don't know if you're going to miss it left or you're going to miss it right off the tee, so you can't plan for it. He's got a two-way inability to block. You can beat him with bull rushes. You can beat him with speed rushes. There isn't one thing where you say, all right, Broderick, you're not getting beat strength for strength. You are getting beat with quickness. Let's get an earlier pass set. Or the opposite. You're fine on speed rushes. You need to anchor yourself down. You need to plant your ass a little bit lower to the ground to handle some of these bull rushes you're getting. He can't block anybody right now. It is a big worry. It is the biggest worry coming out of that game because it runs concurrently with the biggest reason for optimism. Like, it's doubly bad because I think if Rodgers had looked pedestrian yesterday, say, and they had won like a defensive slog where he looked rusty and Jones looked bad too, you wouldn't feel as like urgent about Broderick Jones. But because Rodgers was so good in spite of Jones being so bad, it feels like an even more urgent problem because it feels like if he's bad, he will end up robbing them of something, judging by the way Rodgers played, that could be pretty fun and pretty special to watch.
412-928-9370 if you want to react to Broderick Jones, Mike Tomlin saying it could be better. Okay, yeah, we get it.
Well, one more thing about that before people like and sound off here. I did think, I don't know if anybody else got this impression. I didn't really ask you what your impression was when we were both listening to it. I thought he could have crushed him a lot more than he did. I thought Tomlin gave the answer he gives when he wants to try to keep a player's confidence up and keep a player knowing that, like, hey, the coach has your back. You're still in his good graces. You're not like dogging it in practice or whatever. He immediately said, yeah, he could have been better. So could everybody else. We have seen him send messages about players he's really pissed at in the media.
Yeah.
I did not sense that as one of them. That's not how I took it. And I believe me, I'm not saying that because I think Jones deserves to be defended. I'm trying to call it down the middle.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's only one game, that's probably why. But to me, it's a continuation of what his entire career has been to this point. And he no longer has the excuse that they're playing him out of position. If he did this at right tackle, we could hammer the team for it. We can't harangue anybody but himself for the way this went. The thing that is going to constantly be brought up by me until his play changes is the fact that I have heard repeatedly from people they don't think football is the priority it needs to be for him. There are absolutely people around him, and I would think inside the Steelers organization, that wonder if he's making the best use of his time when it comes to time spent away from the facility that should be used getting better at his job. And yep. That was absolutely a concern, and I'll say the quiet part out loud because it is true. And anybody who denies it is full of it. And I'm not going to go into details here because I'm not allowed to. But believe me, it's a consideration. And it's something that they know about and they haven't been thrilled with in the past. So unless like they've got new information on that that makes them think, oh yeah, this guy's doing everything in his power now to make himself the best left tackle possible, I'd be thrilled to hear that because I haven't heard that, and I know for a fact it was not that way the first 2 years of his Steelers career.
Are you?
It's
also
harder for me to empathize with a guy like that, Chris. You don't hear Mike Tomlin throwing around the football justice card with Broderick Jones like he did with Kenny Pickett.
Are you implying, like, two in there that there's something specific he does away from the field that they wish he would do less of or anything like that?
I think there probably is, yes.
I think you and I have both heard the same sort of rumblings that we would not be able to say with any certainty, but yes. I don't know. Here's what I had trouble squaring with Broderick Jones. This is it. Whenever he's out there, and this is like a stupid metric, when it's like time to pick a running back up off the ground or time to like dap up the quarterback because something good happened and like you're engaged, you're celebrating, you're being team first. When Pickens would lose his mind last year and Jones was on the field, he was trying to separate him. It looks like there's a basic level of engagement and enthusiasm, right? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
He doesn't look like a malcontent on the field, like body language sucks, etc.
Yeah,
he
brought up the George Pickens thing. Look at the way he tried to like get him back.
It's very
focused and centered
last
year.
It's very hard for me to square the fact that that guy who seems to give a crap on the field and be very engaged can't get it together and realize off the field that there's more that goes into being a big-time left tackle or offensive lineman than just being a big athletic dude. Like, I would want to believe that he'd see the tape from week one here and say, this isn't good enough. I got to buckle down here and get rolling.
What's your level of concern in Broderick Jones? Mine is red alert. Mine's about as high as it can be. 412-928-9370. Here's Zach in New Kensington. Hello, Zach.
Hi, big fan.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah, I'm like DEFCON 5 over here with Broderick. I thought Dan Moore was bad, and this was a, you know, slap in the face.
DEFCON goes in the other direction, though. If it's like as bad as it can get, it's DEFCON 1. Yeah, DEFCON 5 would mean not that bad. He just gave up a couple pressures.
Thank you for clarifying the DEFCON rules for us, Malzi.
Yeah,
thank you for being our DEFCON expert.
In a while, so forgive me. I will say I would rather have Will McDonald than him right now. And then my other thought, just tell me what you think. Do you think that with Boswell kicking that 60-yarder, you know, Tomlin's going to feel real bullish and start kicking at the 50-yard line, you know, at the first quarter with 5 minutes left?
So attempting 68-yard field goals? No, I don't think
he's
going to...
No, it means like 60-yarders. I think kicking it actually from the 50. I think Tomlin, if he's smart, should let Boswell decide exactly what he's going to do and when. Like, I don't think Mike should ever say, oh, I might be sacrificing field position if he misses. You should treat it as he's going to make every single kick.
I know this town loves talking offensive linemen, and so here's a chance to weigh in on Broderick Jones. We all watched it Sunday. How worried, how concerned are you by it? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. First caller says he is DEFCON 1. As concerned as you can possibly be. I pretty much co-sign that. 412-928-9370. Text us on the Edgar Slattern Associates fan text line. A person in your law firm, they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Here is Sean Myers' first headline of the day.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.